greatness and power of God demonstrated. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be in the house of the Lord, worshiping and praising an almighty God? I tell you, it's a good thing to get up in the morning, look outside and think, okay, Lord, here we go for another day, you know, and know that He's got His hand on you, and you can trust Him and depend on Him. God does what He said He'll do. And that's bring peace and comfort and so many things in life that we can't find without. I want to share a few verses of Scripture. A wonderful song service today, and good to see everybody come this way. Wonderful song service, and I don't know, I've been excited all morning about this. In Acts chapter 26, if you'll turn with me, Acts chapter 26, and I want to look over in verse 24. You're going to find that Paul had been on trial. He had been brought before the rulers and the king. And they were trying him on trial for being a Christian, you know, where he supported and uplifted. And I tell you, preached the gospel of Jesus Christ and salvation of the world through him. And he'd been on trial. And when it came down to the end of it, I want you to notice here in Acts chapter 26, verse 24, and it said, "And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad." And so we see the situation he's encountering, that Festus is saying, you know, this can't be right, this can't be true. The truth is what Paul was speaking to them in verse 25. He said, "But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner." And I think about this words coming from the Apostle Paul going down to Festus, and he's speaking to him, and he said, these things weren't done in a corner. You know, that everybody has an opportunity to know and understand. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, draw all men unto me." And so through that, we know that the drawing power of the Holy Spirit with us today, drawing people to Jesus Christ for a Savior. So he's talking to him. He said, this wasn't done in a corner. This was done that the world might know and the world might see the need for a Savior, the Son of God, Christ Jesus himself. And when he spoke these words to a King Agrippa and Festus, in verse 27, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Paul could sense and understand the power and the drawing power of God going out, and he spoke these words to King Agrippa. He said, "Do thou believest the prophets?" He knew that he knew the word. And in verse 28, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." One of the saddest things I've read in the whole Scripture, "almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And I got thinking about this almost. You know, how many of y'all tomorrow, if you almost go to work, get paid? You know, got good intentions. Oh, you know, got good intentions. And I almost went to work today. I almost accomplished something. How many of you get paid for that? And I got thinking about this King Agrippa. He said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost. Almost. Now, I've searched through the Scriptures and I've read, and I never found another place where he came under conviction, where he came under the power of the Word of God, that he was persuaded to almost be a Christian. I don't know if he made it or not. I don't find evidence of it. And you know, it's either saved by the grace of God and a heaven and a promise from God, or it's not saved by the grace of God and a hell and burning fires. And so I never found another place where God moved and spoke with him and dealt with him in such a way. He said, "Almost persuadeth me." Almost. And I thought, what is almost worth in this day and time? It don't count, does it? Almost. Thou almost persuadest me. Paul, all Paul was doing was repeating to him and rehearsing to him the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world that died on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood for the sins of everybody, that we may have the promise of eternal life that God gives to us as Christians. And in verse 29, and Paul said, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, hear me this day and almost and altogether such as I am, accept these bonds." And he said, "I wish everybody was a believer like I am." And I thought about this almost, and it's been on my mind so much lately. You know, I know a lot of people that almost almost believed, that almost went to work, that almost had a family. But almost don't count. You know, that's where we're at in so many places. I want to look over just a little bit farther, if you'll turn with me, in Acts chapter 27, I believe, Acts chapter 27. I want to talk about a ship and a sailing voyage and how God takes care of each and every one and God's plan of salvation for each and every one. In Acts chapter 27 and verse 9, "And when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and he said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading and ship, but also of our lives." Now, Paul warns them through God. And I thought about the warning God sends out to each and every one of us as individuals about the damnation of hell that's to come. It said hell's enlarging itself. In other words, it's growing, it's getting bigger. And there's a warning that goes to us. Paul stood and warned them and said, you know, I perceive God had warned him and he was warning them that about the lading of the ship and also of the ship and of their lives also. And he was very much concerned in this. In verse 11, "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." That's a situation we find real often in this day and time, that people believe people more than they believe God. I'm telling you, God's the only one that tells the absolute truth. Everybody else may mislead it, misstory it, in some way mislead you, but God tells you the truth. So when it came down to the point, it said that they believed the master of the ship and the owner of the ship more than they believed God. And where we get in this situation is when we start believing people, people will let you down. There's no people that can get you access into heaven. I need somebody to go close the back door for me, please. Justin, if you don't care. The back door come open. It's just the Holy Spirit coming in. Amen. It's just the Spirit of God flowing in, you know. I guess you should have left it open, shouldn't we? But anyway, they come down to the point and they said, well, we believe you spoke with God and we believe that there's a situation facing us, but we believe the owners of the ship more. Now, when we come into life, in our existence in life, we need to believe God more than anything else. More than anybody else, we need to believe God. And so down in verse 14, they set sail. They believe the owners of the ship and the master of the ship, they believed them, they set sail. Everything goes good for a while. I want you to notice this. You know, everything starts going on, and they're sailing along, and they're thinking, we're going to make it, we're not going to have any problem. Let me tell you, when you get out of God's will, there's always problems to come. It never fails that there's problems in the world, and people around you are going to have problems anyway. In verse 14, it said, "But not long after there arose against it a temperous wind called Euroclydon, and when his ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." And I thought about the situation. You know, all these people on this ship, they believe man more than they believe God. They start sailing, they run into a storm. I'm telling you, there's storms in life. There's storms coming in life. When you turn away from the will of God and don't follow His will for your life, they thought they had it made. Here comes a storm. You may be sitting here today, think I've got it made. Everything's going good. Let me tell you, if you're not sailing with God, there's a storm on the way. There's going to be a problem coming in your life. And when verse 15, it said, when they could not bear up, it said, we just let her drive. They lost control. Now, I want you to understand, they totally lost control of their situation in this ship they were in when they went against the will of God. They couldn't bear up, so they just let it drive. Just wherever it went, it went. Whatever happened, happened. Now, that's a dangerous spot for us to be in. In verse 16, "And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and were so driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship." They're making an effort, I guess a valiant effort, trying to take care of themselves. You know, they're lightening the ship, they're tossing out the tackling of the ship and doing all they can with their own hands. But there's times that our own hands just won't get it done. Without God's help, they're going to perish. Without God's help, they're going to go down in a rough sea and in the middle of a storm. They've done what they could, and so many times we try to give ourselves out of problems. You know, I see that all the time. First thing we do, we try to bail ourselves out. We try to do all we can. Let me tell you, you got a problem here today? Why don't you turn it over to God and let Him handle it? He'll not fail. Now, they're doing all they can. They're making a valiant effort. They're lightening the ship. They're throwing out the tackling. They're trying to stay afloat. They're trying to stay on course. But God is against them in this because they're not looking to Him. In verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. And I thought about a world without hope. You know, what would it be to get up in the morning? You know, I told you I'd love to get up in the morning and see the break of a new day and know that I'm compatible with God because I'm in His will and following His direction for life. And whatever the day might bring, you know, I can get up joyful. I can get up happy and say, okay, God, this is the day You prepared for me. Got up Thursday morning, snow about this deep out here. And I thought, praise the Lord. You know, I didn't whine about it. I thought, that's what God sent, and this is my day. Let's get out and turn tailspins. Let's get on with it, you know. Let's get on with life. I pay extra gas mileage day after day after day to drive a four-wheel drive truck just for that one situation in life that I can get out and go around the block. You know it? And it's worth it. You know, to live a life where we're pleased and happy and have some pleasures that God blesses us with. And when I thought about these people, when it took away all hope that they should be saved, it was dark. There were no stars, there were no moon, no sun to guide them, just in the darkness. And I thought, how many people we have today that's in this darkness? In verse 21, but after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, I want you to think about they're in a position, no hope and in darkness, and all of a sudden, Paul comes forth and says, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. He's got a plan for each and every one on this ship. He's got a plan that He's going to deliver all of us. There's not going to be any loss of life, but He's going to deliver you from these rough seas, from this ship that's breaking apart, and He's going to put you on dry land and firm ground. And I thought about the promise that God gives us through Jesus Christ about standing on solid rock. Standing on solid rock, something that won't wash out from under you, something that won't go away in bad weather. We've got the promise of God. He said if you're basing your faith and your hope on Jesus, you're going to make it. Now that's what Paul stood on the deck of the ship that day and said. He said, fear not, God has promised. And God is going to do what God said He would, and He's going to deliver every one of them. If you go on through this, you're going to find that they told the ones that could swim, go ahead and jump out and swim to land. And those that couldn't swim, it said they made it on pieces of boards and pieces of broken ship and whatever else. But God provided each and every one a way to safety, just as He provided everybody in this world a safety through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He gave His Son on Calvary that we might be saved. He's going to let everybody have an opportunity to make it. I thought about all these sailors, how dark and gloomy it must have been, and all of a sudden, here comes the point. God says, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. I've made the way. And some of them swam in. Some of them made it on boards and pieces of the broken ship, but they all made it. Let's look over to Romans, if you will, chapter 10. And I want to close with this. Romans chapter 10. You'll turn there with me. I want to start in verse 8. The gospel of Jesus Christ. A lot of people say, what is the gospel? The gospel is that God gave His Son. He died on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the world. That's us. That we might have forgiveness. It's not about what we do, but it's about what He did on the cross of Calvary. You couldn't pay my sacrifice. I couldn't pay your sacrifice. It took God's Son to pay the sacrifice for the whole world. In Romans chapter 10, verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. I like this verse. It talks about the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And so that word you hear from this pulpit, but that word also comes from the Holy Spirit going through the congregation and the crowd. I'm telling you, while these sisters and while this choir was up here singing, I could almost hear that voice of God speaking to people and saying, why not now? Why not now? Why not get past this almost persuaded? And as this voice speaks through the Holy Spirit during the song service, during this preaching service, during the Sunday school time, in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, it don't take anything else. There's nothing added, nothing taken away from that, very plainly. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, that's where we want to get to. Not almost persuaded, but persuaded that we believe this and confess it with our mouth. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture said, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not hard to understand. That's pretty plain and that's pretty direct. You know, that's what God requires of us. It's not about what we do or what we've done. It's about what we believe, that we believe Jesus is the Son of God, given for the mercy and the sins of the world. And that's where we stand today, with the truth, the gospel, and giving God the praise for all things that happen. Let's have a verse for song. Verse 14, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You've heard today. You've heard today about Jesus Christ. You've heard today about the saving grace and the power of God unto salvation. Eternal life. I'm telling you, I hope to spend everybody an eternity in heaven. You know, I'd like to know where everybody's going. So this is an opportunity. Come past the almost. King Agrippa said, thou almost persuaded me to be a Christian. I don't know that he ever made it. I don't know if he ever had another opportunity. It don't give a record. But this is our time and our opportunity. We're going to sing a verse song. Anybody need to come and pray, we'll be glad to pray with you. Go ahead, David. Thank you. Anybody else need to come? God's waiting on you. Saw it coming. I've been praying for you. Need to confess your sins. Ask Jesus to save your soul. You pray with me. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask God that you forgive me for my sins. And I ask God that Jesus come into my heart for my Savior. And God, I trust you and believe what you've done on the cross of Calvary is sufficient. All these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Randy, I want you to do something for me. If you know that God saved your soul today, I want you to reach and get my hand. All right, and I don't ever want you to forget this minute, this time. The devil will come against you and try to talk you out of it, but you think back to right here and remember this day and this time that, yes, I did what God asked me to do, that I confessed my sins and I asked Jesus to come to my heart for my sake. I'm saved by the grace of God. I love you. I love you. Amen. Now, you want to say anything or not? I mean, you want to say anything, church? Okay. Amen. 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 Soul saved by the grace of God. Glory be to God. Amen. We're not done yet. I didn't see this going on. Listen, you heard the plan of salvation. Now what you need to do is ask God to forgive you for your sins. You say, God, forgive me for my sins. And ask Jesus to come into your heart. Believe on him that he's Savior, that he saved your soul. Amen. Amen. Now that's what it takes, according to the Word of God, that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you're saved in his grace. I want you to do something with me. Now, if you know that God saved your soul, I want you to reach, take my hand. Without a doubt, amen. No doubt, if you know that God saved your soul, you're on your way to heaven now. I want you to always remember back to this time and this handshake that you were sure, you were absolute, that you complied with what God asked you to do. God saved your soul. Amen. Appreciate you, young man. God bless you.
There's two.
Good day in the Lord. Amen. We'll claim victory through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Victory today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be in the house of God, isn't it? Good to be faithful. Now, anybody else got another desire or something on your heart? Don't leave here today and think, I wish I'd have done this. I wish I had done this. Anybody want to join the church? Anything else need to happen before we leave here? Anybody? Anything? Okay. All right, if y'all content, we'll go home. Oh, going to have a guitar picking here tonight, singing and guitar picking. Anybody wants to join us, you're welcome. We've got anything from beginners, got no free chords, to I guess nearly professionals, you know. So we had a good surprise last week. Brother Bruce sang here last Sunday night, and it was a blessing to me to see that take place. So anybody wants to join us tonight after church, you're welcome. If you want to sing, good. If you want to play, good. If you want to pick, if you want to play piano, we don't care. We just make music and have a good time. Good to see everybody. Y'all ready to go? I could probably just stay all day. Except I think I'm supposed to take some folks for lunch. They might be hungry. Dear Heaven.